Right, it's the retrospective show.
Yeah.
Talking about a little bit of a lesser known Ridley Scott movie that I had actually completely forgotten about until a week or two ago.
Yeah, I saw it as a kid just like on cable. And it, you know, on regular CRT TV. It mm-hmm. really didn't impress me that much. I didn't even know that it was a Ridley Scott who directed it.
Yeah.
But saw Oliver Harper do a review on it, and I go, that was Ridley Scott? So I went and got it on Blu-ray. This movie's fucking badass. Movie's fucking bad. It's the other Blade Runner.
It is kind of, like, the look of it is very similar.
The look, the soundscape and everything, you know, they even lifted some stuff from, like, the Blade Runner street scenes.
Yeah.
And they're showing, I don't know if it was Tokyo or not.
It's Osaka.
Osaka, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, you could tell that they kind of lifted some of the Blade Runner soundscapes from it.
Yeah.
But it was a good movie, man. I liked it.
Yeah, like I said, it's interesting. I remember seeing this. I didn't see it in the theater. It came out in 1989. I saw it in the 90s. I think I rented it or something like that. I didn't remember it being like a Ridley Scott movie, but I remember really, really liking it. But I forgot all about it until, like we said, Oliver Harper like put up a retrospective for it like a couple weeks ago, maybe something like that, yeah. A week or two ago. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember really liking that movie. You know, maybe we should do a retrospective on that. So he ended up ordering it. We watched it.
And I remember not being impressed with it when I first saw it.
Right.
But that, you know what I mean? I saw it. He was showing it, and I was like, yeah.
It's like, man, that movie
was
good.
That movie was that good?
Yeah.
Because it looked like shit on CRT TV.
Well, everything does.
Everything did. And I was like, wow. I saw it again, and I was like, oh, man.
Well, yeah, shit. I was missing out.
I've
even seen some stuff. Even the fucking Friday the 13th movies, like, look like fucking masterpieces of cinema.
Yeah.
Like in comparison, when you watch them like on old VHS, and now when you watch them now and they've all been restored and stuff, I'm like, wow, that's actually a competent movie.
Yeah, this movie is much more enjoyable than I remembered it.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's like, it's interesting because I think Ridley Scott, he got involved in this project. Now, prior to this, I don't know if there was another movie before this, but he had done, you know, Blade Runner, obviously, in 82, which, you know, now is a classic, but at the time was not.
It was a flop at the time.
Yeah, it was kind of a bomb. He had done Legend in 1985, I think that was, 85 or 86, yeah. Which also, I really like that movie, but it's...
I didn't like it. I thought it was a girl's movie at the time.
You and your girl's movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it as much as Labyrinth, but Tim Curry in Legend, I mean, the fucking makeup on that was amazing.
Yeah.
The story's a little thin, but like I thought it was pretty cool, and like I saw it a whole bunch of times and you know, growing up. But that was also kind of a flop. So I believe that this was the first movie that Ridley Scott had worked on after that, and it seemed like, I think a lot of the criticism this movie that Black Rain got was people thought, well, it's like, it's a good movie, but they thought that he was playing it too safe, because essentially it's like a standard cop movie is what it is. It's just kind of set in Osaka, set among the Yakuza, which was kind of like, you know, there were some other movies that came out, like I think Rising Sun wasn't fucking Sean Connery in that and stuff like that. That was also kind of like the Yakuza were the bad guys. So I felt like there was a couple other movies that came out around that time.
What this movie reminded me of, looking back on it, I know that Ridley Scott went back and looked at it. All right. There was an old movie. I used to fucking love it. My dad saw it with me one time, and I think it was on television when I was a little kid. It was called Red Sun.
Yeah.
And
I've seen that.
Yeah. And it was about an American outlaw in the Old West. Okay. And he teams up with a samurai that was a diplomatic envoy from Japan. He was one of the shogun's fucking samurai. And they try to retrieve a stolen sword together. And it was really, it was about honor.
Yeah.
And you had a guy who was super honorable samurai, and then a guy who was a thief. But turns out he had honor, too. That was played by Charles Bronson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
a Charles Bronson
movie. I remember that movie.
That thing was really good. Red Sun. I'd like to get that on Blu-ray, too. But I think you can watch it for free on YouTube.
Yeah.
This had a lot of elements of Red Sun. Where you had a bad cop who was an American, and a good cop who's Japanese. But it turns out that the bad cop who was American was also a good cop. It was just another form of honor.
He was a flawed character, which I thought was really interesting. Now, Michael Douglas, plays the lead in this. And I think he was kind of one of the ones that, you know, kind of got the ball rolling, getting this made, because he read the screenplay, which I think was written by Craig Bolatin. And he had been, the writer had been in Japan with like a friend of his, or visiting a friend or something like that. And he had seen these big like American cars and like these kind of gangster type guys get out. And he's like, what the hell is that all about? And he said, oh, it's Yakuza. It's like the Japanese mafia. And the writer had never heard of that before. So then he kind of like got into it and researched it and stuff. And he wrote this story about like, because he was interested by the whole idea of like an American cop being like a fish out of water, and like kind of the contrast between the way American cops work and the way Japanese cops work, like the whole like, you know, the cultural differences between the two. And he thought it would make an interesting story.
Yeah. And they tried to make, they make this cop as American as possible. And he's New York, right?
American as fuck. Yeah.
And he's kind of a bad cop from New York.
Yeah, kind of a dick. Well, actually, a lot of a dick.
And kind of, you're not really so sure about the guy. He's kind of sleazy.
Yeah.
And he's under investigation back in his department for theft. Stealing money.
From taking some shit off the top of, like, drug deals and stuff.
I do like the fact that, and I remembered this when I first saw it, they established real early that the guy could ride a motorcycle and he's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Harley had a big comeback model where they took a Harley Sportster and I think they fucking short stroked it, made it a 1000. I don't remember. I think it might have been called an XR 1000. I'm not sure. That's probably what it was called. And it was a Sportster that they kind of tried to turn into a sport bike. They put a little bubble fairing on the front of it and kind of gave it a pointed tail in the back like a Japanese bike from the 70s. Well, in the opening scenes, they show him he's hanging out with all the Harley Davidson dudes, and he's got his little Harley XR. I think it's called an XR. And he challenges a dude on a Suzuki.
So there's so even before he goes to Japan, there's this whole U.S. versus Japan kind of shit going on.
And it's a street drag race, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that bike, a Sportster has a lot of low-end torque, you know what I mean? From a dead stop, it can quickly pull away, but given enough distance, that Japanese 4 would have outrun it easily. But what they do is they show that the road conditions were bad, and there was a lot of stuff that you had to dodge.
Yeah, it was like obstacles. It was like obstruction, like cones and potholes and shit.
It wasn't, in the case that they showed, it wasn't the bike, it was the rider. Really, the head one, and they're establishing early on that what's his name? Michael Douglas's character.
Conklin is the name.
Nick,
because that
was a Nick. That's right. They established early that Nick one can ride a motorcycle, because that comes into play later.
Well, yeah, obviously.
He can ride a motorcycle, and he wins by kind of like a combination of skill and cheating.
Yeah.
Which that comes into play too. All
right. It's kind of like a microcosm of the whole entire plot.
Yeah.
Like US versus Japan, and also he's kind of a dick.
Cheating a little bit and just trying to win.
Yeah.
So, but I really liked early on that they kind of established that character in that scene.
He's like kind of the quintessential. He reminds me a lot of, you know, Mel Gibson, you know what I mean, in the Lethal Weapon movies. I mean, I don't know if it's just the hair.
Yeah.
Because what they did with Michael Douglas, because he had been in Wall Street, he had been in Fatal Attraction. So when he got, and he actually got the two producers that worked on Fatal Attraction with him, he got them interested in doing this screenplay, and they were like very excited about it. So they got Ridley Scott on and everything like that. But, the costume designer cracks me up, because the costume designer, when she's talking about Michael Douglas, she's like, you know, he'd been playing a little bit. He was a little bit sleazy, obviously, in the other movies. But he's like, I wanted him to look like kind of cool and hip, because if you weren't around in 1989, having a sort of mullety sort of hairdo was kind of cool and hip.
Yeah.
I mean, see Lost Boys, you know, other things. But she's like, also, I wanted him to look kind of like a sleaze.
Yeah. Now they borrowed the haircut from Lethal Weapon.
That's what I was really reminded of.
I could tell that, but really, the character is very much Charles Bronson's characters from Red Sun. That's where I think they got that character from. It's pretty much that same character. So it's Charles Bronson's role.
Yeah. The plot's very similar.
Very
similar. From what you described.
But then it's merged in. But you could tell this is really Scott talking now. Nick is kind of like a mixture of, like I said, Charles Bronson from Red Sun and Deckard from Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Because he does do a lot of Deckard's kind of like private investigative fucking technique. He kind of does that. It's a little underhanded, but it's similar. So yeah. It does kind of have that kind of film noir private dick element to it, kind of. But it's more cyberpunk. It's a little more futuristic. It's taking place in Japan, and it's filmed in a way where it looked futuristic compared to the United States at that time.
Yeah, it did. And that's kind of one of the underlying themes, I think, is this is not only the cultural difference, but also a little bit of a rivalry because,
yeah.
I mean, what ends up happening is that Nick Conklin, who's played by Michael Douglas, him and his partner, who's played by a very charming Andy Garcia, you know, he's the likable one, whereas like Michael Douglas is kind of like the douche. You know what yeah. I mean? He's kind of like a jerk. But, you know, he's had a rough life. Like I said, his wife divorced him. He has like alimony payments and child support and all this other kind of crap. And he's really kind of like, I've seen it all. Blah, blah, blah. He's kind of like, you know, that kind of guy. And they happen to be in a restaurant. They see like essentially a Yakuza hit, like somebody comes in and like, you know, rubs out a bunch of people.
Yeah. And it's cool the way they did. little short Yakuza dude, man, the little Yakuza torpedo pulls out this little bitty. Remember the mini Uzi? Little mini Uzi with the side folder. He had that. And they put on a big show before. And then the other guy goes in there and slits the other dude's throat. Didn't he slit his throat or he stabbed him in the
yeah,
head?
Yeah, or stabbed him in the neck or something.
Stabbed him in the neck or something like that. I don't really remember exactly.
Like in the middle of a crowded restaurant.
In the middle of a crowded restaurant. And then he just basically kind of takes a bow in front of the
like,
damn.
Ta-da!
Gotcha. And the villain in this is really cool.
Is Sato?
Is this Japanese? And he's kind of, this Japanese Yakuza guy, he's kind of stylish and tall and wearing cool clothes. And he's kind of bucking his system, too. He doesn't like the Yakuza bosses over him.
Yeah.
So he's trying to carve out.
Sugai is, I think, the name of that guy.
Yeah, he's trying to carve out his own fiefdom. But that all comes out, and that all unfolds before you
he's making a parallel between
Nick
Nick and Sato.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the old Yakuza boss, Sugai, I think is his name. Like there's a rivalry there too, just because of, like the old guard and the new guard. And it's
right.
Like, they're accusing Sato of being too much like an American because he's like cocky and he just kind of goes off and he does like his own thing and he doesn't like follow rules or follow tradition. And it's like, he just wants to be like an American and he's just like after money and shit like that. So there's like a lot of that kind of shit going on too. The guy that played Sato, I think his name is Yusaku Matsuda. He was in a shit ton of stuff. He might have done like music and stuff too, but he was like on TV, he was in commercials and stuff. He actually died the same year this came out. He was only 40 years old. He had like bladder cancer.
Wow.
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah.
And because like, he looks real young in this movie. And he is. He was only 40 years old, but yeah. And it's apparently on set, they didn't really know that he was dying.
Now, Jenny said it was kind of a cop buddy movie. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't.
Not a buddy movie. It's a cop movie. It's like a hard-boiled cop movie.
Right, yeah. Because it does kind of, it did kind of follow the cop buddy motif for a while. But Ridley Scott, you know what I mean? He's not going to tolerate that. The buddy gets killed.
Yeah.
All right.
Spoiler alert.
The Yakuza kill him. And Nick tries to go on a quest to catch the dudes that did it. But the Japanese police don't want him around, and they basically try to kick him out of the country. But they failed to kick him out. He escapes off the damn plane. And his only way to get vengeance and to restore honor for his fallen partner is to basically go to work for the Yakuza to go kill the rival Yakuza gang that did it.
Yeah.
And, spoiler alert, the Japanese cop that was working with him kind of understands that in order to fucking restore the balance, you had to go on the dark side temporarily to get this dude to kill these dudes.
Yeah.
And so the Japanese cop backs him up in it and they go.
Well, and then they both like
fight
learn,
the Yakuza.
They both like learn from each other too, which I think is kind of cool because when Michael Douglas's character, Nick is his name, Nick Conklin, when he first goes to Japan, I mean, him and his partner, they go off to Japan. They're supposed to take Sato because the embassy like wanted him because he's this big like Yakuza boss. So they're like, well, we want you to just like accompany him back to Japan and then hand him over to the Japanese authorities. And that ends up not happening the way that it was planned. And then like, you know, more shit ensues. But when Michael Douglas first gets there, it's very funny because, it, you know, he's almost, I don't even want to say almost. He's a very, like, unlikable character. Yeah. He immediately gets off the plane. He's like, what the fuck was this country? He's, like, slinging his dick all over fucking Japan.
Yeah. Now, Scott gets this directly from Red Sun.
Yeah.
You guys need to see Red Sun, too, if you like Black Rain. That's funny. Black Rain, Red Sun. See Red Sun, also, because that's got... It's a cowboy or an outlaw samurai movie. And that's basically what this is. Outlaw samurai movie. It's just veiled it differently. But it's that same idea.
Yeah.
And in Red Sun, they're a samurai's traveling with an outlaw to try to regain the emperor's sword. It wasn't the shogun's sword, it was the emperor's sword, because they had just converted over to kind of like a republic in a way. But the samurai were still around. It was in a transitional period. Good movie. But if you like Black Rain, you'd like Red Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like a similar... Yeah, it's a similar thing. So Michael Douglas is basically, like, making a nuisance of himself. And all the Japanese police are like, you know, we need to get this guy out of here because he's, like, really loud and obnoxious. And he keeps, like, showing up at their crime scenes. And like I said, he's kind of slinging his dick all over Osaka. And he's pissing everyone off. But in some ways, too, like the guy that he, the Japanese cop that he gets partnered with, who's played by Ken Takakura, which is really interesting because that guy, that actor, he had been in like over 200 movies. I think he was in the Lone Wolf and Cub movies, at least one of them.
Yeah.
He usually plays a bad guy. He plays Yakuza bosses, like, or he played them like in a whole bunch of movies, so that he's kind of like playing against type a little bit because he's playing a good guy in this. And it actually works really well because there's a whole like thing between, you know, after Nick's partner is killed and, you know, him and the Japanese cop have to work together and they're like really like butting heads because they're completely at odds because he, you know, the Japanese guy is like, no, we have to do everything like exactly right. And we have to do this, that and the other. And he's just like, fuck no, man, we're just going to go like beat people up and like everything will work itself out in the end. You know what I mean? But they, like I said, they kind of come to... You know, neither one of them are completely right.
Yeah.
It's like they both kind of have to move toward the middle and come to like some kind of solution, which I thought was kind of like a cool.
Yeah. And another angle that this movie has in common with Red Sun is that when Black Rain came out, what's his name? Michael Douglas, he went on kind of like an apology tour. He thought, and some other people thought, that the movie misportrayed
or made the Japanese look bad.
Little did they know that shit was a hit in Japan. The Japanese loved this movie.
It got nominated as like for best foreign film or whatever, like in their version of the Oscars or whatever.
Because the Japanese have Yakuza movies, and Ridley Scott nailed it. And then the Japanese guys that he has in this movie are big stars in Japan. And they sometimes played against type, but the Japanese loved that shit.
Yeah.
They fucking loved it. And it could stand right there along with some of the best Japanese Yakuza movies. So Ridley Scott fucking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Well, that was the same way. That was the same thing with Red Sun. Red Sun was a bigger hit in Japan than it was in the United States. That cowboy samurai dynamic plays super well in Japan because the samurai and the Yakuza movies are the cowboy movies of Japan.
Yeah.
The Japanese know that. They watch Western movies too. They love those. They love John Wayne. They love Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah.
In Japan. I mean, he's got a huge following. And it's because the Western movie to a Japanese person feels traditional. That feels like one of their traditional samurai movies.
Right, because thematically they are very similar.
It's that same theme because the guys that were making those Japanese movies were watching Westerns.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, okay, yeah, we know what this is.
Yeah.
We can do that. We'll put samurai and yakuza in there." And it's shit, fuck it, because it's the same thing. It's that same story, the same idea. So it's funny because, like, Americans think that the Americans thought that the Japanese were different. No, they're just like us.
Everyone's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Everyone just has their own take on it.
Their own take on it.
But when you look into it, it's not really that different.
Yeah, they weren't insulted. They were like honored. They're like, oh man, it's a badass flick.
Yeah, they weren't. And honestly, watching it now,
I don't even know, see what they're talking about.
Not really. It doesn't make the Japanese, you know, it's Yakuza and they're bad guys, but it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
they have bad guys. They have bad guys in Japan. They
That's
have
what Yakuza I mean. There's bad guys in Japan. Yeah. And most of the guys were good guys.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're kind of making it look like, oh, you know, they want to do everything by the book and that's...
But that's the way it was.
But that's what's making them, you know, not be able to catch him. But like I said, they kind of come to a compromise in the end. It's like where they kind of make... Michael Douglas's character, you know, the American, he doesn't turn out to be completely right either because he kind of gets his partner killed. He does some dumb shit.
Yeah.
So he ends up not being completely right. But then, like, the Japanese end up not being completely right either. They have to kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah, see, the issue was with the good guys, the Japanese good guys in the movies, is that the cops couldn't really get the job done because they were too restricted by a bunch of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And they had to have their way to get it done. And their way was... involved a lot of fucking little nitpicking and bullshit. They couldn't do it directly. Well, you think the Japanese weren't frustrated by that system? Fucking right, they were frustrated by that system. They didn't like that system either. They wanted direct action. And that's why the Japanese character in this movie, the cop says, fuck it, we're just going to go for it. That's what he said.
Yeah, well, after he got suspended.
After he got suspended, we're just going to go for it. Because the police system was preventing them from... restoring honor and restoring justice to what, you know, because the Yakuza would play against the cops' weaknesses.
Right.
They knew how to play against those.
Well, and that was exactly like the problem
that's why they did what they were doing.
So that's kind of what they were showing. Right. And it's funny because ironically, because they wanted to initially shoot this in Tokyo, but they were like, no, it's too expensive. And like a lot of the architecture wasn't really what Ridley Scott wanted, like what he imagined, like for the visuals of it. So they ended up shooting in Osaka, and they're like, at first we didn't really have a problem, but then after a while, all this bureaucracy kind of came to the forefront. It's like, you know, you had to like have permits to do everything, and it's like, you can't even like move the camera like without getting a fucking permission to do this, and you have to, if you're going to move it over there and stuff. So he's like, so we shot most of it in Osaka, but then like it was getting to be such a pain that a lot of the crew were like wanted to quit. So some of the shit in the movie, like some of the club scenes, like the stuff in the underground garage, like where the partner gets killed, where Andy Garcia gets killed and stuff, that they shot that in the US because they just couldn't like deal with all the, because they said it was weird because at first they said they were cool with it. Like, you know, when they first went to film there, they're like, yeah, whatever. But then like, as it went on, I guess it's like some kind of public pressure is like, oh, we don't want all those Americans in here like filming a movie or whatever. And it's like, then they started getting hit with all these, no, you have to have a permit for that. No, you have to permit for that. And it like really like pissed them off. And it was like making the movie cost more too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, Jenny. When I got done watching this movie, I was very satisfied.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Very and like satisfied. I said, I remembered seeing it in the 90s and really, really liking it, which is why when it popped up like on the Oliver Harper channel, I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I remember that movie. That was a really good movie. Yeah. And like you said, I had forgotten completely that it was, Ridley Scott.
He was showing clips from it, and I was going, and I was going like, damn, I remember seeing it and didn't impress me at the time. But, you know, I was young when I saw it.
Yeah.
Spoiled, and I saw that shit on TV. And I said, that looks like a good movie. Man, I don't regret buying that one.
Yeah. It's weird because I feel like it's one of his ones that's forgotten, even though at the time, I think it cost $30 million to make. It ended up making like $134 million, and it got a couple of Academy Award nominations, like for sound design and stuff. Yeah. So that was like a big deal. And honestly, because, you know, Ridley Scott's last two movies, which were Blade Runner and Legend, I believe... hadn't really done that well at the box office. This was kind of like a big like return to form for him because after this he did Thelma and Louise, which is another movie that I forgot that Ridley Scott directed. That's also a great movie.
If you haven't seen this movie, see it. If you like Blade Runner, you will like this movie.
Visually, it's very similar to Blade Runner. It has that noir like neon type of look.
If you've seen this movie and liked it, you'd love Red Sun. You could probably see that.
I haven't seen that for years and years, but I remember.
Last I checked, it was up on YouTube for free.
Yeah.
But no, I think the movie's a masterpiece. It's much, much better than I remembered, and it was very satisfying. It was, they don't make movies like this anymore. It was a weird mixture of a traditional cop movie with a bunch of good, cool twists on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the soundscape, just the way it's shot, the pacing of it, I thought was fucking, I thought it was optimal. I just thought it was a good movie.
Hans Zimmer did the score for this, and it actually ended up being really, like, influential, like, going forward. I think this is the first action movie he had ever scored. He scored movies before this, obviously, but this was the first action one he had done. But I think that, like, his theme for this, like, even, like, turned up, like, in other people's themes, like, later on. So it's a lot more influential than...
Another movie this reminded me of was an animated, Japanese animated movie called Akira. Kind of reminded me of Akira.
Yeah, it is kind of like that a little bit.
Where they had the motorcycle gangs and stuff. Yeah. But visually, it kind of reminded me of Akira, if that's possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, it's badass flick. Liked it.
Yeah, like it's a cool movie. And I had completely forgotten about it until, I said, until it popped up on there. I was like, oh yeah, we should get that. It's like, that was a really good movie. I remember liking it a lot. Yeah. And, you know.
What's name? Kate Capshaw was in it?
I was going to say, by the way, Kate Capshaw is in it. She's not, I mean, she's important in the sense that she knows what's going on with the gang war, and she, like, feeds Michael Douglas some information, but they don't really do a lot with her character. Like, it almost seems like, oh, there could be, like, some romance and stuff, but they don't really go anywhere
with
it.
She's more of a source of information that helps the movie roll along.
And she's not,
Because there's a language barrier, because, fucking Nick doesn't speak Japanese.
Right, so she's kind of like, you know what the crazy thing about it is that, like, you know, all the main actors in this that were, you know, the Japanese actors, I don't think any of them could speak any English.
No, they were just pretending to speak English.
So they just, like, learned them phonetically or they just, like, had people, like, kind of feed them this. It's like, I would have never guessed that in a million years.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Kate Capshaw was kind of like the only other person that was, like, you know, an American and, you know, that he could get information from. And she kind of knew what was going on because she'd been, like, living there and, like, working in a bar for a long time.
And the you know, another thing is, you know, the bad guy was named Sato.
Yeah.
I was watching him and I was going, like, you know what? That is a take on the character Roy.
Yeah.
From Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Did you notice that too? Stylistically. What he was wearing and everything. Even sometimes kind of the haircut. It wasn't white hair. It was black hair, but he just kind of, it's like, man, that's a Roy Batty. That's what they're doing.
He was like that type of character.
When he goes to see his boss, kind of like Roy Batty going to see Tyrell.
Yeah.
What went down there. It's like that.
Sato had some, like, crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Because he's not like a big dude.
Tall, thin.
But, I mean, he was tall and thin.
Yeah.
But the way that he, like, carried himself in this movie, the way he looked at people, he was, like, a really, really good villain.
I think they said he was 6'1", and for a Japanese person, that's fucking tall, especially back then.
Yeah.
That was real tall.
And like I said, you would never know that he was, like, fucking dying of cancer.
Yeah, no.
Like, watching this movie. And that blew my mind.
He was playing against type because in Japan he was known as more of a comic.
Yeah.
And he was playing a villain, and fucking evidently the Japanese just went fucking ape shit for that character.
Yeah. So, yeah, they had a lot of kind of, like, really popular Japanese actors, but playing a type of part that they didn't usually play. So that kind of worked in its advantage also. And like I said, they did a fucking great job for not even speaking any English. Like I said, I never would have guessed that either.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're into Ridley Scott and you just, like, forgot about this one or you haven't seen it or something and you like Black Rain, it's like, it's not like, you know, it's just a hard-boiled 80s cop movie.
Yeah.
But filtered through Ridley Scott fiction. Yeah. You know what
I
mean?
It's classic Ridley Scott. Some of Ridley Scott's best stuff.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I'm glad that I got it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely, you know, check it out.